Well, the Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face this summer with hand-selected gift packages starting at just $89. Go to omahasteaks.com, use the promo code Stephanie at checkout for an additional discount when you shop gourmet gift packages for Father's Day. Every steak, every entree is flash frozen, vacuum sealed, ready to prepare whenever your dad wants to grill. Omaha Steaks knows exactly what dads want: steak. This Father's Day, give him an experience he'll always remember. Mouth-watering steaks and a reason to think about you. From dad jokes to skin knees, your dad is one of a kind, right? This Father's Day, show him all the love with Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use that promo code Stephanie at checkout for exclusive savings on gift packages starting at, yes, you heard me right, just $89. He's guaranteed to love it. The most mouth-watering steaks, the best side dishes. Dad is going to love you so much. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget the promo code is Stephanie. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie's helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My latest project, tree trimming for our phone lines into the radio show. I mean, any home improvement you need, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com, that's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website is free to use. Yeah, what? Happy, happy hour.
Oh, yeah.
It was a happy and stormy week.
I see what you did there.
I mean, we started with peckers. We ended with, you know, little tiny mushroom dicks.
Uh-huh.
Stormy kicking everybody's, Pearl Necklace's ass.
Yep.
Oh, Susan Necklace, is that
that's
her name?
That's her name.
It sounds dirtier to say Pearl Necklace because that's cum.
That's titty fucking.
What? Oh, listen, this is the time when we can be filthy because it's the happy hour. Oh, my God. Let Jill Weinbanks handle the penal code, for God's sake.
Oh,
we have Jill Weinbanks.
Yes.
We have Allison Gill from Mueller, She Wrote, and
everything else.
Every podcast in the world.
Yeah.
So great time to talk, Trump trial shit. So enjoy and drink up.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, Jill Weinbanks. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. I am so revved up by the song. What can I say?
Yeah.
Okay, let me start this interview by throwing producer Chris LaVoy under the bus. Do you mind? Last week, Jill. Let's review. He said, Ford pardoning Nixon did bring the temperature in the country down at the time and was the right thing to do.
I remember that.
Wait, who said that?
Chris LaVoy.
Chris LaVoy said that.
Go.
No.
I'm going to get a spanking.
No. It was wrong then and it's wrong now.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And it's, as we know, the absolute reason Ford lost. The vast majority of the American people did not bring the temperature down. The vast majority of the people did not think Nixon should be pardoned, did they?
That is true. And it would have changed today.
Yeah.
Because if we had not had a pardon, we, the Watergate team, would have indicted Nixon after he left office, and then we wouldn't be having this debate about can you or can't you. It would have happened. And I'll tell you one other thing. There was another reason that Ford lost, and that's because he actually played a role as chairman of the banking committee in stopping following the chain of money.
Yeah.
And that was another reason that I actually campaigned for Jimmy Carter and against Ford, was because of his active role on the banking committee.
Yeah, you forget that's where that phrase follow the money came from, yeah. Was Watergate. Yeah. Trump has been held in contempt for the third time, speaking of being above the law. Judge Mershon said, going forward, this court will have to consider a jail sanction. I am concerned about the ramifications of putting you in jail, but I have a job to do to compel respect for the dignity of the court. Your behavior constitutes a direct attack on the rule of law. If I need to, I will. Well, this is what we're still grappling with, right, Jill? Like, oh, how do you put a former president? I'm telling you, this Nixon pardon is what started this idea that a president is above the law. If the president does it, it's not illegal, right? And the judges
Absolutely.
Don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're 100% right. I personally don't want to see a president or former president in jail, but I also have a higher duty to the system of justice, to the rule of law, and therefore I think it may be necessary. And I think that the comments from Judge Mershon show that he is being very balanced in his approach, saying, you're leaving me no choice. This is not me doing this. This would be you doing this. So stop it. Yeah. And I'm just wondering how many people listening to this show think there's any chance that Donald J. Trump can control himself enough to avoid a future repetition of his violation of gag order.
By the way, just this morning, Jill, he repeated again, he was asked, are you going to testify? And he said, I can't answer your question because of the gag order. Well, the judge already had to slap him down in court on Friday and say the gag order does not mean you can't test. I mean, I love it. Was it Bob Schooley tweeted, kind of hilarious that Trump lied his way into the judge basically daring him to testify, right? I mean, to clarify, a gag order does not mean you can't testify.
No, a gag order has to do with what you say outside of court. It has nothing to do with what you say in court. In court, you're free to say anything, including to perjure yourself by saying the same things he's saying, which is, I can't testify, I can't do this. Yes, it is only extrajudicial statements that are covered by a gag order.
Yeah. Well, and one analyst said, if he testifies, then he's going to commit perjury because he did have sex with those women and there was hush money there. I mean, you know, he keeps saying he's going to testify, right?
There's no way he's going to testify. There is, no matter how little control his lawyers have over him, and it is pretty small. And you even saw Todd Blanche standing next to him at one of his most recent press conferences outside of the court, shaking his head in agreement when he said what you just quoted about, I can't testify because I'm under a gag order. And Todd Blanche actually shook his head in agreement. That is outrageous. I mean, you cannot, as a defense lawyer, go so far as to agree. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got, Jim Neal was a senior lawyer on Watergate. And after Watergate was over and I was a defense lawyer, I co-defended someone with him. And it was my first time defending. And he said, never say to the court, I believe, or this is a fact. You say, my client tells me that,
mm-hmm.
and that is the best advice, and all of Trump's lawyers are violating that.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite is he blamed the judge on Friday for making the hush money trial as salacious as possible. So you see, it's not banging a porn star right after your wife gave birth. That is the judge is making that seem salacious
right.
and you
right.
know, and sleazy in some way, Jill.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, it's just part of his way of defending himself in the public, which seems to work for his loyal followers who don't have the sense that they should have. And it is outrageous that he can do these things and say that it's not salacious if I do it, it's not salacious if I talk about it, but boy, putting me on trial for that, that's causing it to be sleazy.
So Hope Hicks, to give us your reaction, you know, I thought it was interesting that she and Trump didn't make eye contact at all, right? But sure. But he did have the energy to scowl at Lawrence O'Donnell on the way in. But, you know, we all know now she broke down in tears, yada, yada. But her testimony was really devastating, wasn't it, to Trump? I mean, I think it's, you know, someone said she just sunk him, and she realizes it is why she's crying, I guess.
I don't. Having not been there and seen it, it's very hard to know whether she cried or whether they were crocodile tears. Mm-hmm. You know, was it the sudden recognition of, oh my God, what have I done? I've told the truth and it's going to sink him. And that the reality sort of made her go, oh, you know, and that the tears could have been real. I don't know. But her testimony was devastating because it comes from someone who is still loyal to him, mm-hmm. who still admires him, who told the truth. And it's not just her testimony that's sinking him. It's how they all interweave, yeah. and how strong the foundation becomes because they all are doing the same thing and building on each other. Mm-hmm. Her testimony was harmful, but so has been everybody else's.
So the new witnesses, they're going to call Trump's former White House gatekeeper to testify against him. Lisa Rubin saying, I can tell you thematically, it feels like Hope Hicks is the last witness, at least for right now, to testify to the formation of the conspiracy to get Trump elected by paying off these women, and that we should be moving into the real heart of the matter here, which is the falsification of business records in order to conceal that conspiracy to elect Trump through unlawful means. So this is Madeline Westerhout. Mm-hmm. She served as his former personal secretary in the White House. She had to place the 9 checks that Donald Trump signed in front of him. Lisa also said Madeline Westerhout can be a crucial witness to know Donald Trump had knowledge and participation in this portion of the crime, which is, as I said, the heart of what the Manhattan DA's office has to prove. Boy, this seems like they've put together a really slam dunk case here. Jill, am I wrong?
No, of course, you're never wrong.
Oh, but in this case, thank you. Yeah, Chris, make a note of that.
And they've had testimony this morning from McConaughey that was about whether or not he ever saw a retainer agreement. So they're also building up to the fact that the checks were listed as for legal reimbursement, legal fees, which they were not. There was no retainer agreement. Nobody ever saw one. So again, they're filling in every little crack. They're filling in all the details that leave you no choice but to conclude that yes, these were falsified records. And, you know, we're not talking about sort of the elephant in the room, which is Michael Cohen will testify. And we don't know when or where he fits into the picture. I don't think he'll be the last witness. But I also think that, you know, people are saying, oh, he's a convicted liar. Well, first of all, in every criminal case, except maybe in a bank robbery where you have an innocent victim who's, you know, been robbed, you have co-conspirators testifying. They're all bad people. They're all liars. But it occurs to me that Michael Cohen is like Deep Throat. Deep Throat was mad. He had a vendetta because he didn't get made the head of the FBI when J. Edgar Hoover left. So he was mad, and he became Deep Throat. But it didn't mean he wasn't telling the truth. He told the truth. There's nothing he said that wasn't true. And so the same can be said for Michael Cohen, is that, yeah, he may be mad he didn't get made attorney general, but he's telling the truth. He said this years ago when he said, this is what was going on. This is how they did it. And he was right. And it's being proved in court now that he's right. So whenever he does testify, the groundwork has been laid so that any accusations against him have been pre-rebutted.
Sidebar, Counselor, when J. Edgar Hoover left, how many dresses did he leave in the closet? Does anyone? I just wonder if anyone knew that, historically speaking. Okay. Finally, Trump started the 11th day of his criminal trial, clearly peeved with his lawyer. Trump threw a file in front of his lawyer as he opened, questioned an investigator about messages taken from Michael Cohen's cell phone. Trump pointed at the file while scowling. declining to make eye contact. Bove at that moment was asking the investigator about whether Cohen's phone could have been tampered with or data modified. Well, this is where Donald Trump's crazy conspiracy theories meet, you know, the light of a courtroom, right? And facts, you know, matter. This is some crazy conspiracy theory that, oh, maybe somebody tampered with Michael Cohen's phone or some. How can you be Donald Trump's lawyer, right? A, you're not going to get paid. You're probably going to get disbarred or end up in prison. I don't get it, Jill. Why anyone?
I don't understand why anyone would want to be or would agree to be, and who thinks that they'll actually get paid, because I still have a pin that says, it's a picture of Stormy Daniels saying, the only contractor Trump ever paid. So, yeah. I mean, I think you have to be careful of that. And I think, you know, you mentioned how he was scowling and throwing things. The jury sees that, mm-hmm. Stephanie. Yeah. They see it. And one of the things you learn, both as a prosecutor or as a defense lawyer or as someone advising a client, is never show your reaction to the jury,
right?
Because they will respond to that, and when they see you scowling, they know that something important has happened, that there's something going on bad. When you hear someone testify to something you weren't expected, don't go, oh my God, that's horrible. You just sort of go, no facial expression, and you deal with it later. So he's making a job that's hard impossible by his physical reactions to things.
Yeah, yeah. Ay, ay, ay. All right, Chicago Sexy Liberal, that's all I can say. You and Jan Schakowsky joining us right before the DNC. And there's another special guest. I can't tell you or I'd have to kill you, but it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
We can't wait to find out who it is.
Me too.
I hope that there's not too much violence before the DNC.
Yeah.
I didn't live here in 68. I was still in law school, yeah. But my husband was there, and he says it was really pretty terrible.
Yeah, no, I have that same, like, you know, like,
I just came back from a college campus, and there was an encampment on the campus.
Sure.
It was pretty peaceful and pretty quiet, but it was pouring rain, so maybe they just didn't want to come out of their tents.
Yeah. We just have to hope that everyone raised their college kids as well as you raised little Victor Shi.
Yes. Didn't I do a good job there? Really?
You did.
And wow. I saw him in the airport yesterday. I was landing from Oregon, and he was heading back to Delaware.
Aww.
And we met at the American Airlines terminal.
Aww, that's awesome.
That's like every great rom-com. Aww, that's fantastic.
All right. Wonderful. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Jill, love you. Listen to the podcast. They're on tour. Sisters-in-law. Good Watergate girl. Oh, my God. Do it.
Everything.
Love you. Mwah.
Thank you. See
Thank
you soon.
You.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. Bye, honey. Bye. There she goes. Rock star.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Allison Gill. Hiya.
Hello. Hello, my friend.
Happy stormy weather. How's it? You have the TV on behind you. How's it going? How's Stormy doing?
She's doing great. She's just now talking about how she met Donald Trump and how his body man Keith asked on behalf of Trump if she would have dinner with him, and she was like, "Bleep no," and then got her information and just went relentlessly texted her until finally she agreed to go out with him. So just.
Do you agree with me that we are owed, after the great Bill Clinton penis chase of the 90s, we are owed every detail of his tiny, deformed Cheeto penis mushroom cap?
Ow.
I am owed not that.
We should be spared at least that. Well, we were saying, though, legally, Allison, I know you talked to, you know, Annie McCabe and all your lovely and talented co-hosts and guests, that this is the most ridiculous defense ever that Trump is sticking with his attorneys with, right? That he doesn't know them and has never met them. Opposite this mountain of documentary evidence, right?
Today, his defense is he didn't write those things in the book. The first witness up was a librarian at the, you know, to talk about some of the excerpts from some of his books where he talks about how he's counts every single paperclip and he's super cheap and he's really a micromanager. And his defense was, that was my ghostwriter and all I could think about was Christy Noem.
Yes. Yeah. I'm told what now? I know someone said there's only really two answers to did you meet Kim Jong-un? Yes or no?
Right.
Right. Oh, I'm not going to talk about the world leaders I met with. Why are you taking out of your book?
Right.
Oh my God. When it came to my attention, you mean what you wrote and then recorded an audiobook?
With your mouth, that you read out loud for your audiobook.
And don't you love how Cricket's string of offenses grows with every interview? And what a sociopath to like double and triple down by going Commander meet Cricket. Like that's funny. To talk about like her answers to shoot more dogs and
other people's dogs.
Other people's dogs. That's right. Popular.
Other people's puppies. She's down with OPP.
Yeah, you know me.
She's bringing the jokes, folks. Anyway, but yeah, the latest. So the witness in Trump's criminal trial yesterday revealed that all personal checks from his account were personally signed by him, including the reimbursement, obviously, to Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen, of course, said, too, that like he would have preferred the $130,000 all at once. But of course, it was broken up to hide it. I mean, the whole thing was obviously to hide this whole thing. It's why it's called hush money. Right. And why it was a criminal conspiracy and falsifying business records on top of all of that. So this was Deborah Tarasoff, the Trump Organization employee. She explained that any check Trump didn't want to pay would have void written over the top in Sharpie. He did it often and it wasn't unusual. However, the checks for Cohen were signed. I mean, all of this is so ridiculous. His like, oh, Michael, I don't know. Michael Cohen did it out of the goodness of his heart. Really? He didn't sleep with her.
No. And I think the most damning evidence we saw yesterday was Weisselberg's handwritten note during McConney's testimony saying times two for taxes. Because
also on the Trump Organization letter hedge.
Because nobody, you know, nobody pays their lawyer twice what they're owed. If it's a legal expense, like expenses are one to one. And that's what Tarasoff testified to as well.
Right. Right. What happens with this gag order thing? So yesterday was 10 times and the judge said, you know, it's the last thing I want to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, so this morning he, you know, truths about Stormy Daniels, which is breaking the gag order and then deletes it, I guess. But I'm like, this is like I was saying, isn't this just the putting the criminal tip in just to see?
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
He's
think
still violent. Is there an amount of time that you can, it's not violating the gag order?
Honestly, I don't think that tweet violated the gag order, personally. I don't think it materially taught. He was going after the judge for allowing the next witness and not being given enough notice, which he's not required to get. It wasn't actually directly attacking the witness herself or materially, you know, impacting her potential
testimony. That in the porn star hush money trial that the you know porn star would be called.
He was kvetching about the judge, which he's allowed to do. He's allowed to go after the judge. I don't think that the DA wants him to be put in jail. What I'm hoping is that if he does violate the gag order and get sentenced to jail, they make him serve it on a weekend.
Yeah.
Or on those Wednesdays when there's no court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't disrupt the proceeding.
Yeah. Now, as you know, I'm a noted flip-flopper when I have you on. I'm a human weather vane. I'm a car dealership windsock. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but this is, Allison, to your point about Merrick Garland and just, you know, the justice system in general, I share your concern. This is the point about putting Trump in jail. It's not just because, oh, we want to see him in jail. It's that the American people think that there is a rule of law that actually applies to all of us, that we actually have a justice system that works, because what they want is for us to despair and give up, right? And just think, oh, none of it matters and voting doesn't matter and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I understand when, you know, what your point about, and by the way, you have, in even in this piece you wrote, you have some criticisms of Merrick Garland. It's not like you're, but I get what you're saying. You just said the goal of this post is to put all the facts about the investigation into the top of the coup. This is specifically about the January 6th, the coup, in one place so you can make up your own mind about Attorney General Merrick Garland. These facts seem to be conspicuously missing from public discourse and the media in favor of rage baiting for clicks and eyes. And as much money as I could make by joining in the Garland bashing, that's never been my motive. I defend facts and institutions, not a bottom line. I will agree with you right up until the moment we have Ellie Mistal on, and then I will completely abandon. I'm just kidding.
I know every time I talk to Ellie too, I'm like, yeah, you're right. What a jerk.
He's very persuasive.
He's very persuasive, and I love him so much. So
Yeah. But I mean, when I have Glenn Kirshner and Adam Schiff on, and I obviously there has been a lot of frustration and impatience. But you say there are things Merrick Garland has done that I disagree with. You said absolutely. This post is about the coup investigation, the obstacles he had to overcome. You said I disagree with his appointment of Robert Hur. Thank you. You said I disagreed with him carrying the bar arguments for DOJ representing Trump in the E. Jean Carroll case. Eventually, he did the right thing. I disagreed with Garland fighting to keep the Barr Mueller obstruction memo under seal. He lost that battle, but he didn't fight it very hard. He could have used new and better arguments, but he stuck with the weak Barr arguments. That still sticks in my craw. That's why I was looking for my Mueller time T-shirt. For you, but also that he didn't ever prosecute the counts of obstruction. I don't get how we as a country can just go, oh, well, those bunch of crimes were earlier now, so we're not going to do anything about those, right?
That's not why. It's because Bill Barr wrote a memo and decided that those were not prosecutable crimes. And with that letter in hand, it would be impossible to charge him with obstruction. He would be able to walk into court and say, previous attorney general said that these crimes are not, that the case is closed. They have used their prosecutorial discretion to not prosecute these crimes. So he would win 100 times out of 100 with that Bill Barr letter in his hand at court. They could have never been able to bring those charges.
Are there words to describe how despicable Bill Barr is? I mean, he's been opening his big yap about how guilty Trump is anywhere that will have him, right? And now he's like, oh, well, yeah, but I'm going to vote for him. He's a clear and present danger to the country, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this guy is just despicable.
Oh, absolutely. And his actions are the source of 99% of why people are mad at Merrick Garland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I get that part. You said as far as the coup investigation goes, he did not wait 2 years or 18 months or even 6 months. He began investigating Trump when he got there. It's also untrue that he wanted a bottom-up investigation. That was an incorrect assumption the media made. It's also untrue that he didn't do anything until Jack Smith was appointed. And as evidenced by my, your list is very exhaustive, I must say. It's very... Yeah. Points well taken. And also, you said P.S. Sally Yates would have likely recused from an investigation into Trump if she were named the attorney general. So I get it that people have, like, you know, this idea or that idea of how, you know, what, although I stick by Attorney General Glenn Kirshner as being the answer to everything, but it's a personal bias. But, you know, the problem, Allison, is, and you make a lot of good points of how we got here. But the point is, we're here, right? And, you know, for as much as people are like, oh, the Alvin Bragg thing isn't the most, you know, important case or whatever, it looks like this is the only case, isn't it, that's going to come to completion before the election.
Yeah, I think so too. And even if Merrick Garland had somehow been able to indict Donald Trump a year earlier, which would be next to impossible, the Supreme Court would still have dragged us to this place where we are right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most, the Supreme Court, I think, is almost the most depressing part. I want to, well, speaking of corrupt right-wing judges, we'll talk about Judge Cannon. Just a minute.